When I was in my 20s, I wanted to get my master's in dance therapy. I started seriously dancing when I was about 19, taking ballet, modern, and jazz classes. I was teaching a dance exercise class called Dancercise that must have been in the 80s. I had a BA in psych and thought I would combine dance and therapy. The only two programs in New York City were at Hunter College and NYU. I needed a prerequisite class, kinesiology, the study of muscles. What? A science class? You're kidding me. I actually needed anatomy and physiology, but since I already graduated, they waived those classes. So I dedicated myself to learning all about how muscles work. I studied my index cards everywhere I went. It was so difficult for me. We had to do a presentation on the muscles involved in a movement. I decided to do a jazz turn. I had it all down until I had to do the physiology of the movement. I didn't even know what that meant. So I called my brother, the science guy, and over the phone from another state, he was able to help me with that. Over the phone, can you imagine? Okay, I got through my presentation and the class, and now on to applying. I decided to go to Hunter, a city college, because who could afford NYU? I found out an audition was involved in the application process. That is when I decided to drop out from applying because I didn't think I was good enough. During the lockdown of the pandemic, I needed to find some way to keep my body moving. I remembered trying these videos called Body Groove a few years earlier, and I liked them. So Amanda and I started grooving almost every day. I became very involved and took several of their live online classes. I found out there would be an online facilitated training. And as some of you know, I became a licensed facilitator at the World Wide Groove Movement. Thanks to some of you who came to my practice classes, like Heidi and Andy and Elizabeth Norman, and some who stuck with it, stuck through it with me, like Naomi and Georgia, my most dedicated groover, and Michael, proof that even men can groove. One day I was wearing this sweatshirt, not this one, so I'm wearing this shirt, but that wasn't the one that I was wearing, that said, peace, love, groove. And Christian said, that sounds like a sermon to me. So I explored the readings for the summer lectionary, and this week's gospel from Mark was about Herod's daughter asking for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. There was no way I was going to preach on that. But the reading from the Old Testament that Sarah just read was about dancing and celebrating and making music that seemed right up my alley. Okay, there's a little aside. So yesterday when we were at St. Lydia's, we were all celebrating because why? Because Christian was called to be our pastor. Woo! So yeah, there was that. 2 Samuel continues the story of David's rise to power and reminds us of David slaying Goliath. A few chapters back, we see David, small in stature and an inexperienced warrior that is no match for Goliath. But David thinks otherwise. He was marginalized, but confident to take on the challenges of this huge man. In 1 Samuel 17:32, David states, "Let's no one's heart fail because of him. He was enough." In today's reading, David brings the ark to Jerusalem, which contains the rules of Judaism. In verse 5, it says, "David and all the house of Israel were dancing before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals." The ark was so sacred, it deserved a party for God. In the groove method of dance that I now facilitate, we have groove truths, sort of like the rules of the dance floor. I like to think about them in everyday language or in words that Jesus might say. Number one, no one cares what you look like when you dance. Jesus might say, it does not matter how you look. You are a beloved child of God. Number two, your way is the right way. There is no right or wrong way to dance. Find your unique expression. Jesus might say, you are unique and special. You are a beloved child of God. Number three, no one can do it for you. You are responsible for your health and happiness. Jesus might say, whether you are in good health or not, you are a beloved child of God. Number four, you should look different. Your body moves differently from everyone else's. Practice being yourself. David knew his body was different, but he still stood up to Goliath. Whatever your body looks like, accept it and know you can move it or rest however you choose. Jesus might say, whatever you look like or how you feel or identify as, you are a beloved child of God. And finally, number five, you don't understand something until you apply it. So I've grown to apply these group truths to my dance practice and also into my life, including my faith and beliefs. I think Jesus would say, just do it. You are enough. Okay, let's get back to this evening's text. There's a party with singing and dancing and music. I think we can all recognize the physical benefits of dancing. It's a form of exercise. It's good and it's healthy for your body. There are also emotional and mental health benefits of dancing. According to the website, www.mentalhealth.org.uk, the following is cited about dance. Dance improves mood, lowers stress and anxiety. Dance is a tool of therapeutic expression and social anxiety therapy. Dance reduces depression. Dance increases interconnectedness by social bonding. As a personal side note, I had been taking antidepressants for the better part of 15 years. I would try to go off them by lowering the dosage, but then some major life event would prevent me from discontinuing them. One day, about 4 months ago, I noticed I had not taken my meds for about 3 days. I called my doctor and asked her, what should I do since you just don't stop taking antidepressants? She asked me how I was feeling, and I said, pretty good. She said, just stop. Just stop. No more antidepressants. In addition, there is also a spiritual healing component to dance. The Israelites were dancing in the streets. They were celebrating. They were happy to present the ark to God. When I started grooving during the pandemic, it was to keep me sane, have a purpose, and something to look forward to. And Amanda and I did it together. I became really good at creating playlists. Music that would speak to people's souls. So we went to the beach in Coney Island. We danced near the ocean throughout the winter. There's something magical about dancing near the ocean. People came and it kept us connected. One of my regular groovers in a Christmas card said to me, I don't know how I would have gotten through the pandemic without you and groove. Laura Perry, who's here with us this evening, was a regular groover in Brooklyn. But then suddenly she found herself on that other coast. Thank God for Zoom. She was able to continue to dance with us. She has also expressed gratitude for being able to dance with us during this difficult time. 1 hour at a time, where all your troubles are forgotten about and you can focus only on yourself. Recently, Hannah Johnson in Canada has been able to join us on Zoom. I've made incredible connections with people around the world. On New Year's Eve, I co-hosted a party with facilitators from Canada, Massachusetts, California, and Italy. What an amazing experience. But let's get back to the spiritual healing power of dance. In May, I went on a mini retreat to a beach in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, with 9 women, Georgia, and my friend Beth, who's here tonight, and Amanda were there. So as part of the retreat, I planned a spiritual groove on the beach. While we were there, a group of Mennonite women dressed in their modest garb, long dresses with sleeves covering their arms, buttoned up to their neck, wearing their little beanies on their heads. They each took off their flip-flops and stood them up in a design in the sand. Then they joined hands and went into the ocean. These two groups of women used the spiritual power of dance for healing, connectedness, and wholeness. I wrote this poem after the retreat. Women frolic by and in the sea, dancing a spiritual groove, healing, say yes or say no. How does it feel in your body? If it doesn't feel good, say no. Say yes to feeling good. What does that mean? How does it feel in your body? Healing, spiritual, empowering, empowered, rise up, wade in the water, frolic, dance. Next week, we will continue to hear the Jesus healing stories in Mark's gospel. He heals after he tells the disciples to rest, work and play and rest, listening to your body. No, I'm not a dance therapist, but I found a way to combine 3 of my passions: dancing at the beach, even in the middle of winter, and providing spaces for healing. I discovered that I am enough. And I hope that you too, my beloveds, that you too are enough. I'm going to end with a part of this song, I Hope You Dance. So have a listen.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leaves you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you
thank you for dancing, my groovy people. Here at St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. We'll spend a few moments in silent reflection. Then when you hear the bell sound, you're invited to share a story or experience that was sparked by the sermon or the text. At St. Lydia's, our practice is to welcome the reflections of all who share without engaging in crosstalk, either lauding or questioning the stories or experiences others have shared. In doing so, we hold a space. We can learn more deeply about one another in community. Also, sometimes, if you usually share, try holding back to open the space for others who might not normally share. We begin in silence.